So welcome people in the Gompa. Welcome people online. It's another wonderful Friday night. How fortunate we're able to all meet again and continue our Nongdrow adventure together. So we can just do a really short motivation and then have any discussion, question and answer, and then we'll do our pocket practice together. So let's refresh our motivation. So we adjust our body and then we adjust our mind. So for the posture, you should be able to find a posture that has a really nice balance between putting in a bit of effort to keep your spine straight, but also being relaxed and comfortable, like tuning an instrument, not too tight and not too loose. And then let all the busyness of the day settle down, just like autumn leaves come to rest once the wind has stopped. And let the main purpose of our life come into focus. How we have many things that we're busy about every day that take a lot of our attention. But if we create some space, we can remember the purpose of our life is to become a Buddha, to be able to benefit most perfectly all sentient beings, liberate them from their suffering, and bring them to a state of lasting happiness. And that is the potential and the purpose of our life. So, the prayer to generate bodhicitta from His Holiness the Dalai Lama. With the wish to free all beings, I shall always go for refuge to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha until I reach full enlightenment. Inspired by wisdom and compassion, today in the Buddha's presence, I generate the mind of full awakening for the benefit of all sentient beings. As long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain and dispel the miseries of the world. Okie dokie. So, I got some emails this week, which was really nice. Feedback from people with some questions, so we can kind of address some of those in a nice informal way. But are there any questions or comments from in here in the Gompa, how the practice is going? Anything you'd like to share? You're really enjoying it. That's good. So, good habit, end of the day, just like brushing your teeth. It's like brushing your spiritual teeth. And so helpful in what ways? A rinse cycle. Yeah, it is. That's right. Rinse your heart, end of the day, clean and clear, then you can wake up fresh. And yeah, well, Venerable Rabina's got lots of stories about the power of especially purification practices for the guys in prison. And because it's such an incredibly aggressive and traumatic environment to start with, that you'd think it's almost impossible to deal with the actual environment at the present, let alone with what brought you there and all the injustice and all the, you know, and then how to live without creating even more negative karma. I mean, it's like a really intense samsaric existence. But she found, you know, that the purification practices had a huge effect on people. And especially like even people, like they say, there's no negative action that we've done that cannot be purified. So even killers, the moment you start regretting, even just having some compassion for yourself, the purification starts. Yeah, you can turn it around. And you can turn the intensity around to benefit you. But there is kind of like a rule of thumb that however negative the negative action is that we've done, then the purification has to be equally intense. You can't kind of have done a really terrible negative action and think that it'll just be purified in one night. It's even Stevens. So however intense the negativity or the traumatic experience or the negative habit pattern, the purification has to have equal weight and be equally intense and equally sustained. So if the things that we've done, even just in this life, have been really extreme, then the purification has to be really extreme. And I found that really interesting because just on a sideline when I've read about people recovering from cults, that however long, however many years you've been in the cult, it takes that many years to become unbrainwashed, equal amount of years, you know, of recovery. So of course we can fast track that, but it instead of by time, then it's by intensity. So no wonder then Rinpoche and Geshe-la have so often said, you know, just try and blitz it, because we're trying to purify eons of samsaric negativity. So think of the intensity that we have to do. So no wonder they say do a 3 month retreat, or at least try and do several weeks or several days to get the real intensity of it, because we're purifying lifetimes of negativities. So it needs to have that amount of weight. And of course, because the Vajrasattva practice is so extraordinary, it's not like we have to do eons of purification to purify eons of negative karma. It can just be a few short weeks through the power of the practice. So we can take heart on that, and just like it says in the Sadhana of you know, the Dharmakaya of all the Buddhas, of our guru, arising in this form to help us purify. It's like that, it's the exact intensity that we need. Someone else also kind of asked me about something, and I thought I'd bring it up about some Buddhist etiquette, because also another conversation that I had with Venerable Ravina one time, where I was with a couple of people, and one of the people, very dedicated student but quite new, and we were in the cafe, it was down in Bendigo during Lama Zopa Rinpoche's teachings, and this lady asked Venerable Ravina, "Oh, what initiations have you had?" And Venerable Ravina just exploded and said, "What kind of question is that? That's incredibly rude to ask." So here's some Dharma etiquette, that it's really uncouth to ask someone what initiations they've had, because it's a really personal thing. It's kind of like the worldly equivalent of if you ask somebody, no, asking who you vote for, no, asking how many people you've rooted. It's not that you necessarily keep it a secret, but it's not something you talk about in the cafe, or you just don't like list them all off. It's a personal, it's deeply personal. So that's one kind of thing. We can get really quite blasé. Oh, I've had this one and that one and blah, blah, blah. And it's really disrespectful. We're kind of disrespecting ourselves in a way. Are
Are we
we
allowed to
allowed to
lie?
answer?
Are we allowed to lie?
Are we
I
allowed
guess.
to? No, we
In this
can't lie.
instance.
No, but we can be skillful. So
Yeah.
you can always just answer with an answer, with a question, like, and why are you asking? Or how important is that to know? You know, well, where's this conversation going? We don't have to feel like we have to answer. Or you can say, it's a very long answer. Do you have time now? Or perhaps we should have this conversation over chai and cheesecake. So there's many ways to deflect it. If you want to answer, you can answer. But in terms of us asking, we've got to be really respectful. And so there is a way around that. You don't say, oh, what initiations have you had? You say, if you've had the appropriate initiation, then, you know, you can do these practices. Or so it's so that we can feel we are being inclusive with others. So I notice how Geshe Zopa phrases things, and he's really he's always inclusive, so that even if you're here, you're doing Vajrasattva practice, but you've not yet had the initiation, he doesn't say you can't do something. He'll say those who have not yet had the initiation, so that you feel still included in the group. And he won't point out who is who. He won't say, okay, who's had the initiation, hands up, you know, nothing like that. So really respectful, really inclusive. And even when it comes to, say, in Guru Puja, when the person comes around with Bala and Madana. So in some centers, you know, it's a big puja, the Bala and Madana just stays on the altar, and people come up at the end to taste the precious substances. And so only people that know to do that come up, and that so it's a non-issue. Other centers, they take it around to everybody. So you're not going to go around and go, oh, have you had the initiation to each person? No way. That's incredibly rude. So Geshe's Opa, you go around, you offer to everybody so that everybody's included. You don't have to take it if you don't want to. So if you're new and you don't know what you're doing, it's like, no problem. Don't feel obligated, but you're included. So I think that's really skillful in a way to kind of navigate our way through. And I found it really helpful because in the past I've been a bit, quite a prude, a busybody. Like I'm up in everyone's business, like who's done what and who's allowed to do what. And we can get very fixated on you're not allowed to do that, or as if we're the gatekeeper. So there are puja busybodies, and they're a bit like the women, the chatty women of a certain age in the church ladies. It's a similar kind of thing that's come over into Dharma centers. And if you come across that, just be really kind and just don't worry about it. Kind to them, don't worry about it. And even so, for instance, when we have our children's Tara Puja once a year. And so I've changed the Tara Puja a bit so that it's a little shorter for the kids, but it's still a legit Tara Puja. And so then I thought, okay, these kids there that come, they're attracted to Tara Puja. They like coming. They just find it a bit long. Like if they're six, it's a bit long. 2 hours is like, oh my God. So how to have them involved? How to have them feel like they can do it on their level. So for the praises, for instance, the praises there, everybody can do them. So I taught them the mudras, how to do the mudras, the holding the dorji, the bell, the jewel in the lotus, the prostration, so that they get involved. Well, what about the tantric offerings, agam, pajam? And then I thought, what's the harm? These kids, they're actually interested in Tara Puja. So let's have them involved and learn how to do those mudras, agam, pajam, and actually do them and enjoy doing them. Do they have the initiation? Of course not. What's the benefit going to be? No, you're not allowed to. No way. So I made a captain's call about it, and I thought this is going to have the most benefit for them. It's not kosher, doesn't matter. It's going to have the most benefit. And then, of course, everybody does the mandala offerings. So one year we had the in family groups, so we'd have a bowl with the mandala offering, and everyone in the family would build the mandala in the bowl. So whether you put the stuff in the right place or not, doesn't matter. So then when it comes to here we are doing our Vajrasattva Nongdrho, what are we allowed to do? What are we not allowed to do? Well, number one, that's just our business. And if anybody asks about it, they're being like the puja busybodies. Unless they're your teacher, and if they're your teacher, then you have a conversation. So I apologize, I haven't finished doing all the transcripts and the videos of Geshe-la, but I've read in the transcripts, in the drafts that I've got, Geshe-la has said, if anybody asks, you have a highest yoga tantra initiation. What we did was Haruka Vajrasattva, highest yoga tantra. We have the initiation. That's it. So if there is another initiation where the prerequisite is that you need a highest yoga tantra initiation, we have it. We've got the prerequisite. He directly said that. So that's all you need to know. You can, this is what Geshe's Opa said. That's all you need to know. And again, like as we're learners and we're trying to do the right thing, and we the Dharma is so overwhelming that you kind of grasp onto the rules as a way to orient yourself. And we Westerners kind of, in a way, forget what the rules are for, because in actual practice, it's a lot more fluid. So even like Venerable Rabina, when she gives refuge in a particular way that's quite unique, and it's absolutely fine. It's absolutely okay, but it's not how some Geshe's give it. It's much more how Lama Zopa Rinpoche gave refuge, which was quite different from other people. So it's not like there's one rule and that's it. It's a, you know, however our teacher is teaching us, that's the absolute right way, and we can have real confidence in that. And why? Because we've checked out our teacher in the beginning. We've done our due diligence, and so now we can be completely relaxed and go, whatever Geshe-la says, it's right. So, yeah, I really hope that kind of goes some way to give you some confidence. And, you know, we have this highest yoga tantra initiation. We got the four initiations, the body, speech, mind and activities. We didn't get a commitment for six-session guru yoga, but we got an encouragement to do it. We didn't get the vows overtly. What we got was like the highest yoga tantra commitment but we didn't specifically get tantric vows, but they're included in there. So we're in this really interesting gray area, but I even hesitate to call it a gray area. I call it an ambiguous area that's full of light, and it's tending towards, you know, next time when we take initiation, then we get to explicitly take the tantric vows.
Francesca commented, it's a bit like taking refuge in lay vows and then asking your neighbor, which vows did you take? So that's from Francesca, which I think is a very good point. And there's also a question from Maria. Maria asked, if we talk white Tara initiation with Geshe Dolga, does that mean that if there's a white Tara puja, we can self-generate as her?
So I don't know if there is a white Tara puja, but yes, if you've taken, so again, it depends. White Tara is a lower tantra practice, and it's given as a jenang. So that means it's a subsequent permission. So if you have a full initiation of lower tantra, for instance, Medicine Buddha or Great Chenrezig Initiation, so they're called Great Initiations, Great Medicine Buddha or Great Chenrezig Initiation, that's a full initiation on the lower tantra level. If you have one of those and you have other lower tantra jenangs, permissions to practice, for instance, White Tara, then you can self-generate as White Tara. But if White Tara is your first ever initiation, then no, you can't self-generate as White Tara. White Tara is there in the space in front or in your heart. So it depends. Does that make it clearer or more complicated? This one, you kind of have to hear it, I don't know how many times before you get it. But this is why in the publicity it's always really good to see, does it say Jenang or does it say Wang? Because Wang means great initiation, a full initiation. And Jenang is subsequent permission or permission to practice. So it's not a full initiation.
And full initiations often happen over 2 days usually. Is that right?
Yeah, usually over 2 days, but there are some texts where it's just over 1 day. And so the Lama will say, often with the Great Chenrezig Initiation, they'll say, usually this is over 2 days, but today I'm using the text that takes it over 1 day, and that's it. So if you've kind of been blowing your nose while he said that, you've missed it.
And then an add-on question from that from Maria. If you have highest yoga tantra initiation but not lower tantra like Medicine Buddha, now can you self-generate as Medicine Buddha?
Yes, you can generate. You can self-generate as anything of that class or below. That's right. So this is the power of highest yoga tantra initiations and practices. And that also means that if you have a highest yoga tantra initiation, then any lower tantra initiations that come along, do them all, because you can self-generate anyway. So why say, oh, I don't need to have the special blessing of the initiation to do it? Just take all of them.
Because I think in our refuge, there's always a mention of dakas and dakinis. And I was always had like a kind of fuzzy idea about what a dakka and a dakini is. But I read in Following the Buddha's Footsteps, a really lovely description from Venerable from His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Venerable Thupten Jodrin. And she said that where is it? The super mundane dakkas and dakinis are highly realized practitioners on the tantric path who assist practitioners by overcoming obstacles and gathering necessary conditions for their practice. And I just thought that was really lovely because I kind of had a fuzzy idea what they were. So if anyone
That's
else has a
right.
fuzzy idea, that's
Because
what a dakka and dakini is.
they're there in our refuge. That's right, every time. So we've got bodhisattvas that are on the Mahayana Sutra path, and then we've got dakkas and dakinis that are on the Mahayana Tantra path. Dakkas are the male and the dakinis are the female. That's right. And they're there in the the Guru Puja. Are they offering goddesses at the back of the room? Yeah, because I didn't want to have any holy beings that you take refuge with at the back of the room, because then we have our back to them. You see. But yes, so that's right. Dakkas and dakinis, all different levels, just like there are with bodhisattvas on the tantric path. So incredibly supportive of us beginning practitioners. Yep. Yeah, thanks, Demi. Thanks for bringing that up because it's really important. And so when you do the Tsog offering, that is the feast of the dakkas and the dakinis. So that's all of us together. We ourselves identifying as being part of that community of the dakkas and dakinis. The highest yoga tantra initiation, even if we're all completely overwhelmed about it and what it all means and what I'm allowed to do or what I should be doing or what are the commitments, it's really simple. The commitments are just to do this Vajrasattva practice every day, minimum 21 mantras. And where do we start? We start by rejoicing, by just feeling how unbelievably fortunate we are, like how super lucky to have this method and to have such kind teachers who love us, to have Vajrasattva who loves us, to have all the dakkas and dakinis who love us and support us. So we should just feel really happy and supported and thankful rather than kind of worried. So the mudra means seal. And so the mudras, I think in this context, mother with father with six mudras and mother with five, it's the ornaments. And so normally with the bodhisattvas, they have the six perfections, they're the ornaments, the earrings and the necklace and whatever. And so the one of them is a special paste, white paste, that means something to do with the six perfections, and that's the one that Vajrasattva father has and not mother. So it's to do, it's the meaning, but it's symbolized by the ornaments, what they're adorned with. Yep. And mudra means seal, and the great mudra is the seal of emptiness. So it kind of shows that all of those are in the nature of emptiness, and that's what we focus on, is the empty aspect of those adornments. I also just wanted to add about with the ritual and the pujas, what do you take to pujas and things? So we can take our cues from Geshe Zopa, which is always to be quite discreet, but to enjoy practicing. So if you like taking your bell and Dorji and Damro and everything to puja, and you can do it all, then fantastic. If you can't bring it to puja, and if you can't bring your offering and things like that, then don't worry, because actually in the monasteries it's just the Lama Gyupas, that the tantric college lamas, and the Umze that has the ritual implements. Nobody else does, because can you imagine 2,000 people ringing their bell? So it's not everybody. So in Dharma centers, it can just be the Vajra master and the Umze that have their ritual ob objects. They're the designated practitioner. The rest of us, it doesn't matter. We don't need to bring them along. But because, like here at Langritampa Center, we pride ourselves being encouraging for beginners, I encourage everybody to bring them along and practice. But not all centers may be like that. So other centers, they might kind of go, whoa, what? Because when I went to Institut Budgie Guinea in France and I pulled out my mandala set in the middle of Guru Puja, the puja stopped. Like, everybody, and the Geshe there, the resident Geshe, whipped around and looked at me. He was so shocked, Because I was the only one in the puja with a mandala set.
How do you mean?
I know. I was shocked.
Is
It is
lama for
Shivaji
lama?
in front. So they just didn't have a tradition of using mandala sets. And so when this person with pink hair came along and made all this noise with the mandala set, they're like, "What?" No, I didn't have that one. I just had rice. So actually, so I was traveling with my mandala rings, and so I just get rice. So I asked, I arrived there, I said, "Could I just have like a kilo of rice, cooked rice?" And I thought, no wonder they looked at me strange, like, what the heck? So I've learned to say, can I have a kilo of uncooked rice, please? Yeah, it was interesting from start to finish. So, yeah, different centers do different things. So, if in doubt, please, we're here to practice. So, do your practice. That's number one, and feel really happy about it. But then also look around and just be discreet because we take our cues from the culture of the center.
On that, Miffy, like I will get up sometimes very early, and we live in a small house, so it's not suitable for me to be ringing my bell and doji and waking up my household and making everyone quite grumpy. So I kind of got, I just visualize that I do it, but then if everyone's up at 7 o'clock, then all bets are off, baby. Then I use my instruments because
That's
everyone's awake.
right. They're
So
making noise. You're making
yeah.
noise. That's right. So we play it by ear. And yes, and we have our Vajrasattva vision, which is, remember, it's all in the nature of emptiness. And we're beginning practitioners. And so I think it's important that we kind of be gentle with each other and encourage each other. And this is where it's a great shame about like the puja busybodies. But you see, I feel quite free to say that because I've been a puja busybody myself, and I'm really trying to kind of mend my ways and be encouraging and kind of gentle with people because we're quite fragile in the beginning. So, we just support each other. And that's why it's so nice to have all of you along here online and in person. I've just spent the last couple of weeks deep into the land of computers and websites, and it has also affected my practice, but in a good way. So you'll see the fruits of that in this version of tonight's meditation.